good.
Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44. Been looking at two of these mysteries coupled together. I think that they're, when studying over these mysteries, it looked to me like they needed to be taught together, because what you have in Israel when they failed to follow God and God sent them into captivity, the crown, the Bible said, the crown fell off the head of the king there in Israel, and then God put that crown, he put it on Nebuchadnezzar, and you'll find that from that time on they were under the rule of the Gentile nations. And even to this day, you find that even though they got their little country down there, they are really, if it wasn't for people like the United States, they wouldn't even exist, you know. And God has used us right now at this present time to help keep things somewhat in a peaceable order, but we know that if the world had their way, they would just totally eradicate them as a nation. They hate them that bad. I remember about 10 years ago they was having a conference. It was over in Japan about what to do about Israel, because Israel was such a problem, such a pain, such a thorn in their flesh, and they're a hated nation, and they always have been, and God has got judgment on them, and they're going into great tribulation. Jacob's trouble, the Bible calls it the 70th week in the book of Daniel, and God's gonna judge them for rejecting his son, for rejecting his word, but he's also going to judge those that he uses to judge them. And he's going to judge us, too, about what we do with Israel. I mean, it's just plain. The Bible's plain. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. He said, I'll curse them that curse thee. And we're living in a time where a lot of people are cursing them, you know, but... And you know, one of the things that scares me to death about this nation, we've got a lot of problems, but when we turn on Israel, we're gonna really see some problems. We're gonna see some trouble. I believe that, because you know, where much is given, there's much required. And God let this country know a long time ago that we are to support them and be there and be their ally. But man, we turn our backs on them. I don't know. I tell you what, just the thought of it scares me to death. But look here in Jeremiah 47. I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. It says, "And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming shall come, and let them show them." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong book. I'm sorry. I thought something. I don't sound right. I turned too far. I got over in Isaiah 44. Sorry about that. Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 7. "Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, and that ye provoke me into wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth." And that's where they're at today. All the nations of the earth, they're a reproach. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even to this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. They shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and they shall die from the least even to the greatest by the sword and by the famine. They shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain. That they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return but such as shall escape. So he said there will be some, just a remnant, small amount. Then all the people which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwell in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. What are they saying? They said, this Queen of Heaven, she gives everything we want. And we will follow after her. And they went down into Egypt. They went into after the world and the things of this world. The same thing that we're seeing happening here in the United States, turning from God, warning him out of our public schools. Hey, won't be long, he'll be out of the Christian schools. It won't be long, he'll be out of the churches altogether. And I'm telling you, the majority of the churches in this America hadn't seen God, ain't showed up. He ain't nowhere near them. They're following after religion, and they're burning incense unto the Queen of Heaven. And I tried to bring that out a little bit last week. You say, oh, they're not doing it. Yeah, they are. They are doing that. They're bringing in all these holidays and stuff that we celebrate are based, and they come after this religion of Babylon. I'm not going to harp on that again today, but we are bringing that kind of stuff into the church. If you look and find out, ask yourself, why do we do some of the things that we do? Why did they burn the candles? Why did they place the flowers upon the altar? Why do we do a lot of things we do in the churches? If you'll study it out, it'll surprise you. It'll surprise you where that stuff came from. And if any of you ever read this work, you'll know some about this, a little bit about this. But he's not the only one. But if you ever read Hyslop's Two Babylons, he gives a good example where all this stuff comes from. And it's in our churches all over. And if we ain't careful, it'll take over here too. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's at work. And believe me, every church, now, Paul said it was a necessity that there be heresies in the church. So you're going to have false teaching in the church. Now, Brother Paul said you used to teach, right? You had a class for a long time. You ever look back and say, boy, I said some things. I mean, I was off in left field. And we've all been there. You see? There's going to be heresies in the church. But if the Spirit of God doesn't take you and teach you and turn you from those things, and every now and then it does as well to stand up and say, I was wrong about something. I taught things I shouldn't have said. And I ask your apology. Take the Word of God and study it. I don't want nobody to take my word for nothing. I don't trust myself. Hey, this Bible's the only thing that's right, not me, not my thinking. But you dig in this Word of God and you'll find these things. You'll find out about Easter. You'll find out about Lent. It's in there. It's in the Word of God. And these churches, traditional churches, is going hog wild over this thing about Lent. Hey, when I was growing up, they didn't do such a thing like that in the Methodist church. None of them did it. They're all doing it now. And I'm going to tell you what, there's Baptist churches that's going after that stuff too. Why? Because mystery Babylon, the mystery of iniquity is at work, and the devil is not asleep. He's after the churches. That's what he's going after. He don't have to go after the world. He's got them. He's going after God's youngins. He wants to shut us up. He wants to keep us quiet. Either that or he wants us to teach things in a way that's not correct. You run off your mouth all you want to, as long as what you're saying ain't, as far as he's concerned, if you ain't telling it straight. Or you're not encouraging people to learn the Word of God for themselves. I mean, there's a lot of preachers out there that you just do what I tell you to do. You'll be all right. Huh? What kind of Bible teacher is that? The Bible said that's what a pastor is to do. He's to equip the saints for the ministry. But there's a lot of preachers out there. He said, you don't worry about that. You just do what I tell you to, and you'll be all right. I don't know any man that I would trust that far. We got one teacher. Somebody tell me who it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. That's it. No man can teach you nothing. Only the Spirit of God can teach you the Word of God, because it's spiritually discerned. And only the Spirit of God can teach it. But, you know, hey, they said, we're going to do whatever comes out of our mouth. Brother Terry, a couple years ago, this verse kept coming up. They make void the Word of God by their traditions. That's what Israel was doing when Jesus Christ was upon this earth, and that's what churches are doing today. And I'm not just talking about the Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterians, and the Pentecostals. I'm talking about Baptist churches. We've all got to be careful about our tradition. Tradition after the Word of God is fine, but tradition after man is deadly and destructive. Now, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelations. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 17. And y'all all familiar with this. Now, God's already gave a warning to the churches right before he took them out. And if you read those seven churches, you know what you're going to find out? The mystery of iniquity is at work in every last one of them. Every one of them. It's trying to pull them in, trying to use somebody say that for me. Huh? Ecumenicalism. They're trying to bring that in. They want us all just to get along. Well, you can't get along. Hey, the Bible said, can two walk together except they be agree? You know, the church cannot take hands with the world. A church can't take hands with the Muslims. But they want us to. Can't we all just get along, they say? I mean, we're all worshiping the same God, right? Wrong. There's a lot of gods in this world. You say, well, there's only one God. Yeah, but there's a lot of G-O-Ds in this world. Little G, little O, little D, and some of them will be sitting in our church today. Jesus said, Did not I say unto you, ye are gods? Every last one of us in here is a little G-O-D. You know what I mean? And if you're a little G-O-D, it submits to the big G-O-D, and you're okay. But if you don't, you went from being a little G-O-D to a big D-E-V-I-L, devil. Because that's what the Bible says. Know ye not that these things that ye worship, they are devils? I know there's only one true God, but there's a lot of devils. And people worshiping them, people, they're going to do whatever they can, too, to get you to follow after them. It's no big surprise when you have some witch out there, your prognosticator, have some things come around, happen. You know what I'm saying? He said, how did they do that? Well, I don't know exactly. But, you know, how many of you believe that devils are real? How many of you believe that devils influence people? How many of you have been out on visitation and see one getting a dog? Huh? I'm dead serious about that. That dog ain't never bothered nobody, but you walked up there and started trying to tell him about the gospel, and all of a sudden he's trying to eat you up. I said, what? And they're saying, what's wrong with him? He never acted like that. I found him say that to me. I said, hey, you ever had a Baptist preacher in here trying to tell you about Jesus? Phone will ring? Baby will cry? The dog will bark? Go nuts. Devils are real. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. These things are real. They're at war. They're after each and every one of us, too. Don't think they're not. I know a devil can't possess us, but he can sure oppress us. They can get us in the flesh. They can get us in the world. They can get in our minds. They'll get in our hearts to influence us. And that's what they want. Look over here in Revelation again, 17. Let me get there. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials talk with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And this is talking about spiritual fornication. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Physical fornication is coupled with spiritual fornication. Whatever the devil can get in your heart, he can get it in your body. And that's really what the Bible says, we need to know how to possess our bodies. Because the devil knows if he can get you to defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, what did the Bible say that God would do? That temple he would destroy. I mean, it's important. A lot of people think they'll say this, I'm just a fruit inspector. Well, okay, you're a fruit inspector. You watching to see what people do, okay? Decide whether they're saved or not. Well, I'm going to tell you something. A saved person can do any rotten thing that a lost man can do. And as a matter of fact, God will give him up a lot quicker than he will a lost man because he knows better. Where much known, much is required. He's long-suffering. He'll work with us. That's the reason why we should fear when we see that we got tendencies to go the wrong direction. when we get where we're cold or don't care. But notice this, he said, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination to the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which have the seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, that's Rome. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's Rome, Italy. It's that city. And what has happened was when Babylon was destroyed and burned, that religion, that world system, which was Babylon, you look in the book of Daniel, you see what? You see that head of gold. You see that great statue, that head of gold. Then it was the Medo-Persian. And it went down till it came to the Roman Empire, which was, there was a Roman Empire, right? And which was not. Yeah, it is. Now, that's pretty simple when you think of it. Roman Empire was, and it fell. But it didn't go away. It continued on in the Roman Catholic Church. It is the only religion in the world which has emissaries from the nations of the world. They got ambassador. We have an ambassador to Rome. Rome, Italy. Not to the nation, but to the Church of Rome. And most of the nations of the world do. Now, that was important because he said right here that the nations. Now, Satan is using that world system, that religion, but he's going to destroy it. He's going to turn on it. The beast and the Antichrist is going to turn on it. You find that in the Word of God. Their judgment's going to come upon them, and he's going to burn it. They're going to destroy it. But right here, you see, and those seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. About 7 years. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Any of y'all remember, Brother Joe talking about when Jesus, and he gave Judas the sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. That's just a coincidence, right? The traitor. One knew, had part. He had part of the ministry. Peter taught that plainly. He had part of it. No. Now take your Bibles, turn over to book 18, and look in verse 7. Chapter 18 and verse 7. Now much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I said a queen and no widow, and shall see no sorrow. She said that's the queen, queen of heaven. Look, I know some of y'all have seen these things. I was going into Florida. I was going into Florida, and they had a big shrine. You ever seen these Catholic shrines around, sitting around on the roads and stuff? It had this big, huge shrine, and it was two the Queen of Heaven. That's just a coincidence, right? Huh? Come on. I'm riding by there, and I said, and I wondered. I was like him. I said, I wondered. It amazed me. There it was. Just like the Word of God said. They still worshiping that old harlot. To the Queen of Heaven. I've seen the pictures. She's sitting there with that little baby. And the stars all around her. Y'all seen those woodcuts? You seen them pictures? Huh? With a crown sitting on her head. The Queen of Heaven. And she have lived delicious. That ain't Mary, I promise you. That image is not Mary. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That is another Christ. Not the Christ of the Word of God. It's not the Christ of the Bible. It is another Christ. That's really why we are to pray for our Roman Catholic friends. We need to pray for them. You say you believe they all going to hell? No, I think some of them are saved, but they're deceived. They're blinded. They don't see some of this stuff. It says right here, it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. Remember what Israel said? We will do whatever cometh out of our mouth. Why? Because we have lived deliciously with her. She's blessed us. And God said, yeah, you go on down there. And what happened to them? They're down there in Egypt. What happened to them? Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies in there and destroyed the armies of Egypt. Egypt was cut down. And from that point on, Egypt never, ever rose up. She was crippled so bad, she became a third world nation. Who had been a great empire for all those centuries. And now, she wasn't nothing. She had a bunch of little goat herders and stuff left down there. And it's still that way today. Because God judged them. And all those that was down there, He smote them down. He destroyed them, except for a few. A remnant. Made it back to Judah. Some of them finally said, okay, God, you win. You're right. We're wrong. All they had to do was stay right there and submit. God said, I'll keep you. I'll protect you. And that's what we better do today. Don't look to the world for help. Don't look to the government of the United States for protection. There's no protection in them. They don't care about the church. They've turned on the church. And it's going to get worse. I believe with all my heart. I think it's just going to get worse and worse. And we ought to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for our churches that are standing. And pray for the people that are in government that are standing. That they'll be wise. Some of them are standing against the tide, you know. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. Now remember, somebody was quoting something to me from Hebrews the other day. I said, now I want to ask you something. What's the name of that book? They said, Hebrews. I said, guess who it was written to? It was written to the Hebrew people. Listen what it says here. And what I say, chapter 3, right? Hebrews 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Notice this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Notice it, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And so, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man. What is he saying? Moses didn't build the house. Moses was builded. He was the house. He was builded. Who did the building? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he found him, he was a murderer, hiding out, taking care of the goats and the sheep, right? And who come found him? The Lord Jesus Christ did. That's who came found him. He come and found him, and he gave him a work, and told him what to do, and he started working on him, building him. Amen? He started building him. He started giving him character. He started working and moving upon him and made him one of the meekest man who ever lived. That's what the Bible says about him. Now, who did that? Moses? No. If we got anything in us that's worth 2 cents, who did it? Huh? That's right. And so we must know how much we need him in this hour. That's where we got to get to. I'm such a fool in myself. But I know how much I need him. I stumble and stagger along in this world. I know how much I need him. I know what David Leslie is. I mean, he wouldn't make a good pile of dung. If you planted, put me around the rose bushes, I'd probably cause him to die. But God can do something even with Dave Leslie. And with any person in this room, and with any church that will submit and say, Lord, we need you. And when we want him with all our heart and desire to move. He says right here, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ had a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast. Now notice this. If we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing and the hope firm unto the end. Now, this is when it really starts sounding like Israel, does it not? You hear that? It's talking about enduring. It's talking about patience. It's talking about going into tribulation. Keep on looking. Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. See that word temptation? There's a temptation that's going to come upon the whole world. That great temptation. That great time when men are going to be tempted to follow after who? The Antichrist. There being a temptation. Look at these words. Consider them. Harden not your hearts, and as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers. So who's this book to? That there makes it pretty simple, don't it? Very plain. It's turning to Israel. Right now, God ain't speaking to Israel. He's speaking through his church. Now, these are Hebrew believers. And he's warning them of what. In this temptation, don't turn aside. tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, that's what I want you to see. Blindness in part has come into Israel. What brought it about? What brought it about? Think of that word. It said, because of unbelief. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That's enduring. That's endurance. That's continuing. Now, I'm a nut. I look at this a lot different from anybody else. They left us, but they were not all of us. They were not all of us. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be manifest that they were not all of us. Now that is a continuing doctrine. I believe, you look over in Peter, he said that you are kept, I'm talking to the nation of Israel, said, you that are going through this, you are kept by the power of God. I believe that God is going to keep His remnant when they go through the tribulation. He knows them that are His. And He will keep them by His power. But He's going to test them all. And the ones who start, and there's going to be some who start off believing this is the right way, but because of an evil heart of unbelief, they're going to turn aside and go off into the wilderness and be destroyed. God knows them that will continue, though. He will keep them by His power. You think they're going to keep themselves by their power during that time? How? They can't keep themselves now. And the Bible said when He looses Satan on this world with all deceivableness, if it wasn't for the Word of God and the power of God, there's no way that anybody can make it through that. All the glory is going to have to go back to God. There ain't nobody going to come out through the other side of the tribulation with the fingers out. But I stayed with the stuff. God ain't giving no bragging rights to nobody. We got nothing we can brag of other than Him. We can boast in Him. And it's going to be the same way with them. They can't boast in, oh boy, how I suffered, buddy. I took it. There was no way I was going to get, no. They're going to say, oh God, if it hadn't been for the mercy and the grace and the power of God, there's no way I'd have made it. I'd have failed. God's going to keep them by His power. Blindness in part is because of it. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Seem to come short of it. You see? Seem to come short of it. They went out from them because they were not of them. Take your Bibles now. Look at this. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verses 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what Israel did. They weren't thankful. They knew God, but weren't thankful. Now, turn now to Romans 8. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, we ain't going to make it on our own. It takes the Spirit of God. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. See, he knows who has the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them, notice this, who are the called according to his purpose. To whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Again, he's calling. For whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I just feel like looking at this, man, if we had really understanding what we just read, we would all be up running around, shouting, going, called. Did you hear what that just said? God has done it all. He done it all. I believe that. I believe everything I just read. He knew me from the foundation of the world. He called me. He saved me. He justified me. And one day He's going to glorify me. I read something the other day, it just blowed my mind. I read this, and boy, it just really hit me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. What's the next part? To be equal with God. And God said, let that mind be in you. That don't blow your mind? That God would say such a thing? To us? One of these days, we're going to be heirs, joint heirs. We're going to be just like Him, the Bible said. When we see Him, we'll see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. Just like Jesus. I don't know, man. I tell you what, I read that, and I just get beside myself. I just can't imagine that. And we walk around here most of the time like, oh my, oh me, oh another day, oh God. Oh. We're going to be like God. Well, I'm sure long for that day. Huh? Drop this sin, man, this sin-filled, cursed brain and have that new glorified body. Them He also glorified. I don't know. I think that's pretty good stuff myself. I don't know. Look at Romans 9. I'm running out of time. We'll come back and read this again next week. 9. Go back over these verses and read them, man. Man, you might have a running spell. I about did it work the other day. I was thinking on all these verses, and I just lost it at work. I mean, I got so full, I just wanted to tell somebody. And I finally found somebody, and I told them what was in my mind. I had to get it out. It was a fire burning inside. That's what Jeremiah said. His word. He said, "I ain't going to speak about him no more. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. And all they do is fuss at me and persecute me because I'm talking about God." But he said that word was a fire burning in his bones. Boy, get some of this good stuff in you. Boy, it might be a fire burning in our souls. Amen. Romans 9, verses 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ." He said, "I'm willing to go to hell for my brethren after the flesh." You know what that is? That's the mind of Christ. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and made himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He was made a curse and was cut off and took the full weight and full punishment. And Paul's got some of that mind working in him right there. And we need to have some of that kind of mind working in us too. That we would be willing to be made a curse and a gazing stock and be made a curse that they might be saved. "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen." Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. God's word don't return void. It accomplishes what he pleases. "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel."